trouble here tonight with the box again, the speaker box. I hope it works that we can stay on the air through the regular program, through World Watchers. There's a lot of news going on. I will go over some subjects with you, but if you want, this is your half hour to call in. If you have any questions to ask, there's a movie on John Kennedy this week. I didn't get to see it because I was busy doing some writing, and if the telephone's off the hook, it'll probably stay that way for about to the end of the week. I really can see why I don't do more writing. It's terrible. The deadlines are terrible. It's nice when it's over with, but you have to put everything, single thing aside, and that is hard. It's hard for me. There's a lot of things I want to be doing at the same time, and when you write, you just have to check everything off, and that's hard for me. Is there anything you want to call about? The number here is 375-3082. Otherwise, I'll bring up a few things that are in the news and share them with you. 375-3082. Somebody called last week and wanted to share some information about Mr. Dewey. And right after he called, I was reading some articles on this subject, a fascist. And I wasn't familiar with the name until then. As I say, somebody called last week and brought up this subject, and so I hope we get a call again. Here's one call. Hello?
Hi, man.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
I just finished Tim Leary's autobiography.
Yeah.
And in it, he mentions a woman named Mary Pitchford or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that she was turning on with JFK and that she was shot under mysterious situation. Do you know anything about that?
Mary Pitchford.
Pitchford or something like that.
Pitchford.
Yeah. She was friends with Jacqueline Kennedy.
Oh, I think that, was her last name Myers?
Maybe. I don't exactly
remember. She married a guy named Myers who was a friend of Ed Bradley's in the Washington Post. Is that the one?
Yeah, right. That's the one.
Yeah.
Washington Post, yeah.
Yeah, you know, according to all these posthumous stories, I don't think he did anything with Stan Bed.
Uh-huh.
He did it standing up like Henry Miller.
Why was she shot?
I don't remember the circumstances except that it was... She came from a very prominent family. This is the one I think you're talking about.
Right, yeah, that's the one.
A guy named Myers,
right.
Well-known, prominent, and I really don't know. I hadn't started the research until Kennedy was killed. I started studying murders afterwards. I take most of the things that Tim Leary talks about with a grain of salt. I know she shot, and I think that her...
Well, it's interesting. You should take a look at it in his autobiography, because he's got a lot of CIA memos and such, but not...
Timothy Leary.
Yeah, about him, them chasing him all over the place. But there are no memos relating directly to her, but it's interesting the things that he says about it. He doesn't answer any of it. He just opens a lot of interesting questions.
Uh-huh. Well, what did he think? He doesn't answer it, and he was close to it. What does he think is the reason she was killed?
That she was turning on with people high in the echelons. This is when LSD was legal.
Uh-huh.
And no one really... The CIA knew what was happening because they were turning prisoners on without their consent and such, but something, he isn't sure. He wasn't sure. He said that people became very threatened with her activities. He kind of intimated that it involved sex, drugs, and loose living.
Mm-hmm.
And that the CIA became very threatened or something. I don't know. It certainly wasn't very politically sophisticated, but it was interesting at any rate. It raised a lot of questions.
Well, I'll look at it sometime and look at the book.
Okay. Well, yeah. if you come across anything in your files or anything.
Yeah, I think I know who you mean, but...
Yeah, you got her. She was involved with some people from the Washington Post.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Brent Bradley's in the CIA, and her husband worked with the CIA, and she was sneaking out on her husband and was having an affair with Kennedy, and... I don't know the circumstances. There's so many, like, someone like Claus von Bülow, whose wife is in the coma, and she was, you know, he says she had insulin, but he wouldn't call the nurses, and the housekeeper wanted to call a doctor, and he waited till she was good and out of it before he made the next move. And nobody knows, you know, what's on their mind, the motives for doing them in, and or that doctor from McDonald for the Green Berets who shot his wife and children.
Okay, well...
They're not always political things, but when you're with political people, you can't write it off because...
No, I'm sure it fits in somewhere. She's an interesting woman, apparently.
Yeah.
Kind of got around, as they say.
Okay,
thanks. Okay,
thanks a lot.
Bye.
I know who he means, but I never followed that up too closely. As I say, there's a lot of people that really don't change foreign policy when they're murdered or don't change testimony before a committee that's being investigated, like if you're a witness before the House Select Committee or something like that, if they're not important in terms of what they know with an ongoing trial, I don't spend that much time on them because there's so many other witnesses involved with major scandals like that Saxon fellow with the security exchange and the gold bullion. They were about to investigate him, and the same day they're to investigate him, he's dead, and $60 million worth of gold is gone. But some of the cases, I save the articles and put them away because they turn out to be the most interesting years later, things that we took for granted or thought we knew what happened. It was like a few weeks ago I did that broadcast on Jane Mansfield and that Sam Brody that she was killed with. I didn't know that Sam Brody was an attorney in the offices with Melvin Belli, Jack Ruby's attorney, or that he was going to Jim Garrison to give him information on Jack Ruby's trial. I mean, it just seemed, well, it was a car crash of an actress and her lawyer going to New Orleans. And then it turned out that she was a good friend of Helen Kilgallen, and she had told her about Jack Ruby, and they were going to open up this case when Kilgallen was murdered, Dorothy Kilgallen. And then this Jane Mansfield was going to Jim Garrison, New Orleans. So you say these articles 15, 20 years, and you find out that they were murdered for reasons other than was explained in the first place. And it's worth, if you have the space and time, to look into these things because there's too much of that going on that is suspicious in nature. The numbers are 375-3082. If you want to talk about some of the Kennedy shows that were on, one on television this past weekend, and there'll be another one tomorrow night on the anniversary of the death of John Kennedy. Hello.
Hi, May.
Yeah.
Got a book report.
Yeah.
A book called The Conservators by Elliot Roosevelt.
Conservators, okay.
A little bit about it. It says there's time, barely enough, perhaps, but time for the conservators to steer civilization away from the shoals of destruction. Uh-huh. And then he goes on to say, of course, he's the son of ex-President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Uh-huh. Goes on to say, and emphasize Eisenhower's warnings about the military-industrial political complex, especially uh-huh. the interdependence between the Pentagon and corporations and supply that supply our government with war material. Elliot Roosevelt says of the leadership in the U.S. today, we're being led by the people FDR dubbed as economic royalists, Republicans, Democrats, and independents, any group with enough cash to influence laws for their own special interests.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it might be a good book.
Is this a new one?
Just out.
Yeah, Elliot Roosevelt was involved with a lot of blackmail with John Meyer, the MEYER, Howard Hughes organization, and fixing women up for military procurements, which doesn't have anything to do with this at all. And he worked with Wilbur Eveland in Syria. We hear so much about the Syrians possibly bombing the embassy in Jordan, but the CIA set up Syria. So it's almost like we're bombing ourselves because if we blame the Syrians, we were heavily involved there. He's had a controversial life. Elliot Roosevelt's a very, very staunch conservative.
Hmm.
Elliot Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he goes on to say, he offers the, this is incidentally a review of the book that was in the Monterey Herald Sunday.
Uh-huh.
He goes on to say his vision of world leadership that would lead to prospects for unrestricted trade, travel, and communication in a free world based on a system of laws Einstein suggested, under which the Soviet and American governments would become equals before the law rather than rivals for supreme power.
Well, that is a new idea, isn't it?
Well, it's not new.
I mean, he used to be farther right than Barry Goldwater.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he's had a change of heart.
Maybe he sees that Armand Hammer's very profitable. He's been trading with them ever since the revolution.
Oh, yeah.
And he never got hurt. Even the oil from Standard Oil or Chevron, maybe they realize that there's a huge nation and a lot of business out there and we've been taken.
Well, yeah, makes sense.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. Okay, conservative. Was it conservators?
The conservators.
Who
right.
are the conservators?
Well, they are the people who can steer civilization away from the shoals of destruction.
Well, let's do that. I'm for that.
Yeah. He wants people who are caretakers, who can see that there's a great need to...
A conservator is responsible for...
Yeah, take care of, right.
Well, it's like if the people in power are mentally sick, we absolutely do need a conservator.
And nurses for them.
And nurses for them because they are absolutely sick. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they are showing, you know, their total insanity, and maybe they do need conservators. I want to put them in a political zoo, but maybe...
Stuff them.
Not yet. They're stuffed already. Squeeze them. Yeah. A conservator to take care of the earth. It certainly needs somebody with some loving care right now.
It
needs somebody who has an idea of what's going on in the world and recognizes insanity, because that's what these people are.
Yeah, we need an attitude, I think, like Plato tried to define as... people, he called them, I guess, elders, but people who are very sympathetic and compassionate.
It's sort of an elitist thing, but he had different layers of society, and they were educated and cared for the people below.
Yeah.
The intellectual elite instead of the exploiters. Yeah, I mean, there's...
As long as we have to have leaders and followers, I guess it's best to have people who are very compassionate.
Yeah, well, when people are sick and can't take care of themselves, they have conservators, and I think that these nations are sick, and they need conservators, somebody that really can. But how do you arrest it from the military? We need an army of Davids.
Right.
To take on the Goliaths. But that's not a good title. Okay, I'll look into that. You know, you can give a guy credit. I never believed in just holding out because somebody had a view a long time ago that therefore he doesn't have an idea now. I mean, if he has a new idea, let's see what it is.
Yeah, I'll come take a look.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Elliot Roosevelt, the conservators, we won't hold it against him for wasting a good hunk of years. The problem is that a lot of these people did not have their social responsibilities through the years since World War II, and all of a sudden they're going down a slide fast, but it's better to recognize what's happening and try to find ways to do something about it than to pretend there isn't madness everywhere. So that sounds like a pretty good idea. I read the Sunday paper, I didn't see the conservators. Down in the Philippines, I'll mention again for you, 375-3082, if you want to call, and then we'll talk about the Philippines. They've got a new panel to investigate Mr. Aquino's murder. This reminds me of after the Warren Commission having the House Select Committee on Assassinations. They always have these new panels. Hello?
Hi, May.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are two movies out that are interesting.
Okay.
One of them is called Under Fire.
Oh, yeah.
And it stars Nick Nolte.
That's the one that Alexander Haig helped produce and launch, right?
No.
That isn't the one? No. Oh, no, I know what you mean, yeah.
Can I assure you Alexander Haig does not want anyone to see this movie?
I know what you mean, yeah. I was thinking the one that he wanted where the terrorists are going to take the city with the atomic bomb.
No.
Okay, Under Fire, tell us about it.
It stars Nick Nolte and Gene Hackman,
mm-hmm.
and Nolte's a reporter in Nicaragua in 1979,
mm-hmm.
and he sees how the Somoza government is being funded by the CIA and how a Green Beret are there shooting people, shooting Nicaraguan citizens, and how Americans are running death squads for Somoza and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then how the Sandinistas are forming up.
And what happens?
Well, it just shows how this... I don't know. I haven't seen it yet because it's brand new. Just
sounds
came
like
out.
Sounds like a newsreel.
It's supposed to be a very good movie.
Yeah.
Exposes, you know, how Somoza is being supported by the CIA and American death squads.
Mm-hmm.
And how they try and suppress it when this reporter gets photographs of Americans murdering Nicaraguan citizens.
Mm-hmm.
American Green Beret.
Somoza, you know, went to West Point. He was American trained.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that.
He and all
that.
Of his army were trained in Panama. I mean, he is American, like Marcos, the Philippines, and all of them. They're just trained by America.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was good somebody was putting out a movie where you actually...
Is that playing here locally?
Yeah, I think it's playing, I don't have today's paper, I think it's playing at the Village Theater in Carmel. I'd have mm-hmm. to check the paper.
Okay, fine. Well, what's the other movie?
It's a movie called The Right Stuff.
Oh, yeah, did you see it?
Yeah.
Is it Right Stuff? Okay, is it good?
It's an amusing film, just as far as the adventure, but it was kind of interesting in regards to your show, because you see the people who you talk about, the German rocket scientist,
mm-hmm.
Lyndon Johnson, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Wernher von Braun says he'd rather be working with monkeys than humans.
Okay.
And Lyndon Johnson is using this whole thing for political manipulation.
Publicity.
With these German scientists and so forth.
Oh, does it show the German scientists?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And does it show their intent to rule the world?
No, it doesn't show anything like that, but it does show these people were all working together. It also makes me wonder about this John Glenn guy.
Are you going to vote for Glenn?
I don't know, you know, who I'm going to vote for yet,
mm-hmm.
but, I mean, I have to be pretty suspicious
don't
of
you
him.
Want a hero? Don't you want an image of America strong?
Well, that's the image in this movie,
Yeah, I always vote for heroes. We've had so many, it's hard to choose.
It's disturbing to me to see the film where they're making him out to be such a hero and his bosses are all these German Nazis in the film.
Yeah, which means he didn't say anything out of line, huh?
That's what I think.
Yeah. No, he understands that. He's got a lot of heavy money from Texas and stuff. He's being funded heavily. But, you know, compared to what we got, at least we can't say that he obviously murdered anybody or covered up their murder.
I've never heard of him committing any criminal act.
No, he'll just be wonderful to push the money for space weapons, though.
That's right.
Yeah, the budget that Daniel Graham wants.
Well, I think he would push something like that.
$24 billion. I mean, you know, he'd be helpful with that, because that would be defending America.
Well, that would be the angle that they'd have their eye on with him.
Mm-hmm. Really, they're offensive weapons to attack, but they call it defense.
Yeah, offensive.
Uh-huh. They're offensive. Okay,
they're
well, so we'll go see them.
More ways than one.
Okay, incidentally, if anyone calls locally, because I get calls all day, I'm taking the phone off the hook till the weekend because I'm working on an article.
Okay.
And so I'm not going to be answering. There's somebody over last Saturday to help cut articles. I'll do what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything until I get this thing. I thought I had 4 months to write it, and I have 4 days. And I've spent 5 days just organizing it. So I'm forced to take the phone off the hook.
Well, I can understand that. Good luck with your project.
I hope I get it done. It's really hard. It's hard getting started. Once it rolls along, it's okay. Then it's trouble. You got too much, you have to delete it. But it's really hard to jump into a subject because on the air, people, if they don't understand what you say, they go back at the past stuff and you can explain it to them. But writing is totally different. It's much harder.
Well, I'm sure you'll learn as you go along. You know, this one's probably tough because, you know, you have the deadline, but next time you may be anticipating what you have to do in preparation and so forth.
I never did really like deadlines. Even in college, I started saying for my final the first day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to be caught. You know, if I prepare the stuff for World Watchers, like Friday or Saturday, I have it pretty well laid out and Sunday, you know, type and outline it. I don't like to run in or guess, you know, and wait for last minute stuff. But when you have a pretty deadline, when you work with other people, you have that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's the burden of success.
I don't know. I don't know. It's easier to be doing other things. it can't have both ways, but we'll just try and finish writing and get it ready for the next one. So anyway, thanks for the movies. If you know of anything else good, let us know.
Oh, yeah, there was one thing. You're talking in the previous call about philosophy and how these people are insane and so forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, in case anyone's interested, there's this man, L. Ron Hubbard, who's trying to correct people who are crazy, destructive, have compulsions for destruction.
Yeah.
And the people working for Ron Hubbard publish several newspapers and magazines.
Yeah, he has a lot of mind control in the Nazis, too.
Exactly, that's right.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a copy of a newspaper they publish here called The Auditor.
Yeah.
And it's an article by him. It says, "Philosophy Wins After 2,000 Years."
Let's hope.
And he goes on to say, "Philosophy did not die with ancient Greece. and that he's combined science with science of the mind with philosophy.
Well, unfortunately, a lot died with ancient Greece. And it's hard, you know, he lives in a society where people will chase him and try to discredit him, and so he has to hide from all government agencies or he'll be killed. So it's hard to develop a philosophical system that's practical enough that you live in the world, because not everyone has a yacht they can live on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you go when everything else closes in? You know, the elite have the yachts. The trick is to live in your own society and be able to make some changes and not have to run away.
Well, I have a mission here in Monterey.
I know that, but I say in practical living, it's a shame when people are not visible so that you can identify with them in the flesh. You know what I mean? It's a shame that society makes one person hide and the other's behind armed guards and suspicious of everyone that comes in, and it's really a hard way to live.
Yeah, well, it's...
That doesn't detract from the philosophy. It's just a hard way to live.
It sort of is a backhanded compliment in a way. The fact they're so worried about him shows they must think he has something that could go right.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, listen, thanks for calling. If we hear any more movies or anything interesting, share it.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, this is 375-3082. I might tell you now, instead of during the one-minute break, if you want to be a subscriber to the station, they would very much like to have some money. They're painting the station and the board lights on and off. I see that box over here that squeaks and goes on and off, and they need all kinds of repairs. So maybe you can send some money to the station if you're $15 for student and senior, $25 for basic backer, $40 for patron of the airwaves, $100 for Grand Kazoo. Incidentally, there's a new antenna at a station up in, what is it, near Palo Alto, not Cupertino. And on Monday nights at 9 o'clock, they have World Watchers from the week before. KKUP it is. So if you miss that, you can pick up last week's program on Monday night after you hear this week's. And coming in, I flicked a station with KFJC, and they have World Watchers on Sunday morning. So evidently the three stations now, just in this area, coming from up north the Bay Area, and then to Cupertino, and then down here. So you can listen to one broadcast three times, and you'd know your homework pretty well. You get to know those names pretty well. Please try and send in a check for the station to keep it going before the rainy weather comes. Some night you're going to turn on your favorite program, and there won't be anything on. You'll wonder what happened to that station, and it'll be off the air and need its fixing up. So if you can, send something to the station, and it'd be greatly appreciated. They could use that money. I never ask anybody for $500 because I don't know anyone who has it. People I know who have it don't spread it around like that, but a lot of checks at $15 would be great, or $40. A patron of the airwaves. We've sent out case tape cassettes to members of Congress, two different programs, 617 and 618. Not one member of Congress has written to me, and I assume they haven't written to Larry Flynt, who paid for the tapes. No comments, and I have people in the East that are going to start calling their congressmen and ask them if they heard those broadcasts, just to see what's going on, if the United States mail does travel, and if they get those broadcasts in their mailbox. It'd be interesting to know if they receive them, and it's pretty soon. I'll give them a week, another week, 2 weeks, and then I'll write to Washington and see. I was, before the phone rang, I was talking about Aquino and the panel that walked out on Marcos. And the reason they didn't want to investigate the murder of Benigno Aquino is that they said no one would believe them. Well, they're getting smart. That's what the Warren Commission should have told Lyndon Johnson. We can't lie about the killing of John Kennedy. The Warren Commission said Oswald did it alone. It said there was no conspiracy with any government agents. And nobody Oswald knew was part of the assassination team. Well, all of that could be lies. I don't know how much he knew of the assassination teams, because there were several. And it may be true at the end he didn't know them. He knew everyone else around the Dallas-Fort Worth area that was involved with the cover-up of the assassination. The assassination has two parts. It has the actual act of murder, and then they have the cover-up. Incidentally, if there's somebody listening to World Watchers out there who knows the story of Jim Morrison's death, call me and tell me about it Sunday or Monday. I'll have the phone back on the hook. I might have mentioned this before. there's going to be a movie made in Los Angeles on Jim Morrison. And I want to get, I had some information on his death. Hello?
Hi, May. How you doing?
Okay.
I saw the tape released last night. When, I guess it was CBS on the John DeLorean drug transaction.
Uh-huh.
And I was curious as to why Larry Flynt might have released that or sold it to the network.
Oh.
It's seeming that the defense attorneys now claim that they might be able to throw out the whole trial because of prejudicial mm-hmm. publicity and so mm-hmm. on. Do you see anything particularly...
Well, we had a long conversation about that. I talked to him two or three times a day. He's running for president. And I have a lot of good ideas for him. He asked me about it. The guy who had the tapes called me. Larry said, talk to him and see what he's got. And I talked to him. He wanted $100,000. I said, why that fee? And he said, well, that's what Christine got to talk to People Magazine.
Right.
I said, well, that's not an interview. That's a payoff. But, see, I'm not a businesswoman. I think it's the smartest thing Larry did, but I'm no businesswoman. So he can pile up the bucks. I never make anything because my nature is to be conservative and things like that. And my analysis was that, you know, he's so cruddy, this John DeLorean. He's been in every sleazy deal there is. And he just up to his eyes in all kinds of relationships or contacts that have no basis of real solid businessman like a General Motors executive and so forth. And I thought he would get in trouble. I thought maybe there were stolen tapes from the FBI offices and maybe he'd get in trouble.
The FBI film, it was FBI filming.
Yeah, and I thought maybe Larry Flynt, because he was becoming so controversial, that they'd plant stolen stuff.
Yeah, right.
But his logic is this. He says, look, I know everything you're saying is wrong about, is right what you're saying about John DeLorean, who's all wrong. But he says, here's a guy who... William Hetrick has been, he didn't use his name, he meant the dealers that framed him. He says, this fellow that flew him in and flies him around has been dealing cocaine. International banks, Cayman Islands for years, and they knew it. And they bring him in, and he says, wait, don't take me, take my buddy here, this Timothy Hoffman. And he's been going to back and forth the island, supplying Hollywood with all their drugs, and he's a notorious drug dealer. Why don't you take him? And Hoffman says, well, don't take me. I'll give you John DeLorean. And so what happens is the DeLorean is tabbed. Now, the whole point about this is that Larry feels that, Larry Flynt, the hustler, feels it's an injustice. If people, if the federal government, the FBI, the agents know Hetrick dealing all this, why do they let them off at all? Just cut it where the dealer is. Or Johnny Carson's bank. What about Johnny Carson and his links to DeLorean and all their heavy cocaine? His feeling is that there's such hypocrisy. A man like Dan White can get off, and another person, you know, who's done less crime.
So essentially, Flynt's motives are good in releasing the tape, even though it may.
His feeling was the government entrapment, whether it's a person like Senator Williams. I mean, you take the weakest person, and in exchange for a criminal like that horrible man, that Weisman, the one that got the congressman off, I mean, Mel Weisberg, that just cruddy individual. In return for that crud walking around, they will bait weak people and tempt them to commit crimes when other people of much greater strength are doing the same crimes and they don't tempt them. So he's just trying to burst the bubbles of hypocrisy, as he explains it.
It was definitely a revelation to watch DeLorean there all smug. And
let me tell you what else he has. He has the Vicky Morgan tapes of Ronald Reagan, Vicki Morgan, and Alfred Bloomingdale.
Flynt has those now?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And he has more than that. He has also the Marvin Pancos didn't kill Vicki Morgan. There was a man hiding in the closet, and it didn't have the fingerprints, and he has information on that.
I read an article that attributed it, that Flynt made that allegation that it wasn't Pancos. I guess he's helping to try and get
mm-hmm.
Pancos released.
It wasn't.
Amazing.
And the beat goes on.
Are you going to talk anything about Jessica Savage, or did I miss
Yeah, I will. I'm really upset about that one.
Yeah. All right.
But don't you think that's a raw deal?
Jessica? Yeah. Okay, well,
listen, thanks for calling.
Okay. And we'll get back next week. Okay. There isn't much time to do the talks for tonight. We'll have to call it quits on the talk show. And get on with World Watcher. Shall we do that? We've got about 1 second, and we'll get going with World Watcher.